This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following is a KMOX Sports exclusive.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field.
Welcome to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line.
Back to the track and gone.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Burleson hits it hard through the hole at short into left center field.
Now, live from Dallas and the Major League Baseball Winter Meetings. Sponsored by Goodwill. Give local. Give hope. Give Goodwill. It's Matt Pauley on your home of the Cardinals, KMOX.
We do come your way from Dallas, Texas. It is time for a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Great to have you with us this evening. We take you for the next 2 hours until 8 o'clock tonight, and we do have some breaking news, so let's go ahead and start with that. The assembled media, myself, Mike Claiborne, Ricky Horton, the rest of the print media that have descended upon Dallas to cover the Cardinals' side of the baseball winter meetings, well, we were up with Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, just a few moments ago, and he didn't want to say it at first. He's always kind of he's not always, saying always is probably the wrong way to put it, but he tends to be close to the vest on some things like this. But he did admit that the Cardinals are absolutely intending to trade Nolan Arenado. Nothing is imminent. Nothing is a for sure thing. There is still a scenario where nothing works out and he ends up staying with the Cardinals. But he made it very clear, and you could tell he was a little bit uncomfortable talking about it in this way. But Mozeliak made it very clear that the team does have Nolan Arenado on the trading block and that they are hopeful to be able to move him, saying that it is best for both parties if it works out that way. From a Cardinals perspective, it is best for two reasons. Reason number one is something that we have spoken about over and over and over again. If you say that you want to play the kids, if you say that you want to give an opportunity to young players, well then you have to play the kids. You have to give young players an opportunity. And with the way the roster construction is set right now, you really don't get that much of an opportunity. Yeah, there's going to be a couple guys that could play, and Jordan Walker's going to be in the outfield. Nolan Gorman could potentially play at second base. But if you've got Nolan Gorman at second base and Nolan Arenado at third, and you've got Wilson Contreras at first, and you've got an outfield group that includes Nuit Barciani and Walker, well, then where's Brendan Donovan? Where's Alec Burleson? You know, one of those guys can DH, but not both of them. So it just doesn't completely work out. So from a roster construction and a playing time standpoint, that's one of the first things that was mentioned. That if they want to do what they want to do, well, then part of that you clear that out a little bit by moving on from Nolan Arenado. The other side of it, and I would assume that fans are not going to love what I'm about to say, but there is a financial side to it as well. They've talked about wanting to cut payroll this year. They have a general number that they want to be at. They are not at that point yet. So moving on from Nolan Arenado and cutting that payroll, whether it is his entire salary or a portion of his salary, that is playing into this as well. There's a number, at least a neighborhood of a number, that they are trying to get to, and they're not there yet. So moving on from Nolan Arenado would give them that opportunity. So look, this is it is breaking news because it is something that is being confirmed by John Mozeliak. But the spirit of the news is not breaking, right? the spirit of the news is something that we have been talking about for a while. Now, I'll be honest with you. We talked with Oliver Marmol earlier today, and he talked about the fact that Brent Brown, the Cardinals hitting coach, has been, you know, spending some time and talking with Arenado. And when I heard that, I thought to myself, okay, maybe this Arenado trade actually isn't going to happen. And then we have the conversation with Mo, and it becomes very clear that they are trying to trade him. Again, not 100%. They have to find a trade partner. They have to find a partner that is willing to give up something that the Cardinals find valuable to get in return, and they have to find a trade partner who is going to pick up a good considerable amount of the salary that is connected to Arenado. So not a done deal, but Mozeliak did certainly confirm that earlier today. One other quick thing from Mo, which I think Cardinals fans should be pretty happy with. He confirmed that David Freese is rejoining the organization, and he is going to work as a special guest instructor during spring training. So that is a lot of fun. That made me happy because, you know, the last kind of official thing that happened with David Freese was him turning down the Cardinal Hall of Fame, and like that's the last thing that we've heard from him. That's not what you want to be the most recent thing. So Freese, I guess, reached out to the Cardinals, indicated to them that he would like to be involved, and they've got a spot for him. So he is going to be in Jupiter working as a guest instructor, and he is going to mainly be working with infielders. But I think that's pretty cool that Freese is going to be rejoining the organization in that role. So those are kind of the two big bits of news today. Arenado is confirmed on the trading block, somebody that the Cardinals do want to move on from. And then the other thing is that David Freese rejoining the organization and will be working in spring training. We'll have much more on that coming up later on in the show. Up next, we'll be joined by Mike Claiborne and Ricky Horton. We'll kind of go through. I'm going to be completely forthright with you, by the way, here. I'm not one to lie. This conversation that I've got with Claibs and Ricky, we recorded it earlier today. And we recorded it before we knew that Nolan was going to be officially on the block. It's been a really long day in Dallas. It has been an incredibly long day in Dallas. I enjoyed the conversation with Claibs and Ricky. I don't remember much of it. That seems like it was 2 weeks ago, and it was just a few hours ago. That's the way things are kind of going in Dallas. I don't know if we talk about Nolan Arenado or not, but I'm just throwing that out there. What you're about to hear was recorded prior to Mozeliak confirming that Arenado is on the trade block. So just being completely honest with you on that, if you hear any Arenado conversation in it, just know that's where we're coming from. I will listen back along with you as I sit here in Dallas, and I will enjoy it because I don't remember doing it earlier today. We will take that break, and indeed Mike Claiborne and Ricky Horton will join me in just a moment right here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. We are broadcasting from the Dallas Metroplex area. It is the baseball winter meetings today, officially day number one. Joined right now by Mike Claiborne and Ricky Horton. They are here as well. Fellas, good to see you. We're expecting a lot of fun here over the next few days.
Well, considering that the Soto deal is done, you would think that things are going to start to really escalate. But I always like this environment because you just never know what's going to happen. We've been here, you and I have been here, and we watched it really be a dud. Mm-hmm. But this year, I kind of get the feeling after what we learned last year, we're going to see a lot more activity.
Ricky, I know you're here doing stuff with the alumni, but you also wanted to see, you always hear about the winter meetings, you wanted to see it for yourself.
1980, I was drafted, so that's, I'll do the math, 44 years of being associated with professional baseball, and I've never been to the winter meetings. So this is all new to me, and you know, as we're speaking, Hall of Famers are walking by, and people from different clubs that I know or either played against or are certainly covered as a broadcaster, and I just think it's high time I did it. And I mean, I'm excited. I think this year is an important year for all of us to pay attention to what's going on, because obviously the Cardinals, Matt, have been in a transition which is well understood and well known, and I think well communicated by the Cardinals that they're kind of taking a step backwards or at least standing still so they can go forward in the future. And I think, you know, a lot's going to happen here.
I don't know if you guys have noticed what I've noticed. When the first press conference took place with Heim Bloom, it felt like the focus was on taking that step back. Since then, there's been a lot more talk about this can still be a competitive team. Now, I don't know if they're just trying to sell tickets, but it does feel like the storyline has maybe changed a little bit as the offseason's gone along.
I was on a big league team where the general manager came in. I won't say what team it was, but it was in the on the north side of the state of Illinois, and it was in the American League. So I'm not going to say where it was, but the general manager came in and said, look, guys, you know, we're doing some rebuilding here, and, you know, we last year we lost 95 games. The year before, we lost 100. So I think if everything works out well and we stay competitive and nobody gets hurt, we have a chance to be a 500 team. That's what he said in our spring training meeting, and I about fell out of my chair. I just gotten traded from the Cardinals. I was stunned that I heard that, and that, and it, so here's the deal. Once you get rolling, you don't ever say that. I mean, I don't care. I mean, I don't care what team you are, if you're the Marlins or if you're Seattle or if you're the Cardinals or if you're Milwaukee. I mean, if Milwaukee could have said that last year, they could have said,
yeah,
look, we lost Corbin Burns. Let's, you know, we got no chance here, but let's just try to do well and worry about the future. You got to shift gears, Klabes, and say, you know, let's go to winning and see where we end up.
I think I agree with you. You just got to go out and just let's go play. Let's not worry about records or anything right. like that. And I think that's what Pat Murphy did in Milwaukee. Yeah. Hey, let's just go out here and play and see what happens. And they ended up winning the division. They went wire to wire. Now, I don't know what he's going to say this year with you losing Adames and some other guys that they are thinking about moving. It's going to be a bigger challenge for them. But I think in St. Louis, we have some good players. And some of them are going to play a lot more than what they thought they were going to play. And there are going to be some guys that we're going to take a long, hard look at and see if they can play.
Talking about the division, Matt, one guy I'm really interested in hearing talk, and we're going to hear him shortly here today, is Terry Francona, who's now going to be leading the Cincinnati Reds. And I've always admired him. I just think he's done a great job of managing. Of course, I love David Bell, too. But it's going to be intriguing what he's able to do with that Cincinnati team. They've got some good pieces, too. They just made a big deal getting rid of India, Jonathan India, recently. They got more pitching is what they need, and especially in a ballpark like that. But it'll be really I'm really excited to hear what he has to say about his club.
I'm going to ask you this. How important do you think now is to have a different voice in the room? And I agree with you. I love David Bell. But I wonder, had his voice become monotonic to players where they weren't really into him? Tito, as we know, is a very feisty guy. And I'm wondering how much of an impact that's going to have, because I see it with the St. Louis Blues. When Jim Montgomery comes in, and I know Monty when he was playing in Maine, to see him come in and have an impact on a hockey team, I'm wondering, is the same thing going to happen in Cincinnati?
Bob,
they have good players,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they do. Well, Bob Forsh used to say all the time, one of his favorite sayings is, hey, sometimes you got to do something even if it's wrong. And I felt like he was talking about the importance of change in baseball. And baseball has to change. It evolves, and that's true of what happens in a clubhouse, because it's not just that, say, David Bell's voice isn't right, but you got a new sheriff in town. And then everybody goes, ooh, I wonder what the sheriff thinks of me. Mm-hmm. I better amp myself up here. I better think about, you know. And so the deck gets reshuffled, which I think is a good thing. It's not just, you know, the messaging, but it's the player kind of looking inward, saying, I've got to work hard to, because it's still about production in this game. And if you're complacent, that's a bad place to be.
I do wonder what kind of assurances Francona's got from the Reds ownership, because that's a team that bluntly has not invested much into the Major League roster. And if you're going to bring in a Hall of Fame manager, that guy's got to feel like he's got an opportunity to win.
Well, I think that they probably told him, do what you need to do. You know, he's got the important pieces. He's got some pitching now. He's got a decent offense. And I think when you take that job, Ricky, you already have the assurances where you're going to be able to run your ship the way you want to run it.
I think there's no doubt about that, and I think there's great respect for Francona, and you look at what he did for all those years in Cleveland. That wasn't a Cleveland team that you said, oh, boy, they were spending a lot of money getting the best players. They just found a way to get it done. And I think that's what they're banking on, that he can be a guy that maybe wins with less. You know, we'll see what happens. I think the division's going to be interesting again. Pittsburgh's better. We know that. And Milwaukee, I don't know what to think about Milwaukee with the changes that Klabes just said. And so, you know, as Klabes also said, you got to go out and play.
And, you know, let's throw the Cubs in there. Yeah. If you look at the Cubs pitching staff, if they ever go out and get a bullpen, they're going to be a handful.
You mentioned Cleveland. The Cardinals all of a sudden have a very Cleveland feel to them with Rob Serfolio. The new farm director is in that tree as well. They've been so good at developing players. If you can go do some of what Cleveland has done, that probably is going to lead to good places.
Yeah, and so that also is added to Serfolio getting people in the minor league development staff that's going to be a part of his language and what he's done and what they've been able to do in Cleveland. And yes, I think that's kind of a missing piece for the Cardinals right now is, and the way I've been saying it, is finishing players, having enough staff at the minor league level. The staff has done a great job over the years. They just need more of them. They need more guys to take the minor league talented guys and finish them to be big league ready, and I think that's the challenge ahead.
Yeah, you know, you look at last offseason, and this is in no way, shape, or form a shot at Lance Lynn or Kyle Gibson, but their roles on the team, you want to be produced from the minor league system, where if you're going to go make a splash in free agency, you're getting basically all-star caliber type players.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say that I have great respect for those guys, but in some ways, you know, the idea of getting, you know, fairly expensive duct tape to fix what's going on is not the solution anymore. And the Cardinals have said, you know, we tried that, and it, you know, the idea of just getting into the playoffs and see what happens, but they realized, I think, because of the economics of the game now, and TV has something to do with that, and all the things that are going on in baseball globally, you know, the landscape is change. You know, the Cardinals aren't going to spend $750 million on a player. They're not going to do that. So you're going to have to develop guys, and I think shifting Klaib's the idea to spending money in development is clearly the message, and I think it's the right one.
I'm good with it, and I've always said this. If I owned a team, I would go out, that $5 million I'm paying for a guy who can't help me on the big league roster, I'm investing in the minor leagues. I'm going to find quality former big leaguers to run my A ball and teach guys the game at the beginning compared to trying to do something with a guy at AAA. And I like that direction of what the Cardinals are trying to do. And you know what? We talked about two guys who I love in Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson. I hope if they elect not to play that the Cardinals can use those guys to be what I'm talking about with regard to development down the road.
And let me say about both of those guys, too, and I think what they did last year to help the Cardinals get better was clear. The Cardinals are not as good without those guys. And I don't mean just their performance. Both of them pitch well. Did you get any scoop?
We're going to catch up later.
Okay. Yeah. But the idea is, you know, those guys were helpful, but they were also helpful in the clubhouse. And so that's going to be, I think, one of the challenges for the Cardinals in 2024 is going to be probably not as much veteran voices in the clubhouse. So I think the burden of coaching is going to be escalated, I would say.
I switching gears a little bit, because the Juan Soto signing from yesterday clearly is the biggest story so far here at the winter meetings. I ran some numbers. David Stearns now runs the Mets. He's their president of baseball operations. He previously with the Brewers. In 7 years running the Brewers, his entire payroll combined for 7 years was about $643 million. He, in one signing, spent more than he did in 7 years combined in Milwaukee.
So he showed his versatility. He can go both. And well, it depends on who you're answering to, right?
I wish I had that job. You know what's interesting about that situation when you think about Stearns and what he's able to do, and it's amazing when you have those resources, how things work. And you know, if I'm David Stearns, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm going to sign him because I'm not going to be here in 15 years.
Yeah.
It won't make a difference. And I think that's something you have to take into account for all these big contracts. These guys who are putting their pen to paper, they won't be around that long.
What's true about big contracts, and has always been true, and I remember the Yankees in the 70s and being somewhat of a Yankees fan back then, they were signing everybody. Steinbrenner was signing everybody, and at the time, multi-million dollar contracts, which was all the money in the world at the time, certainly in the baseball world. And yet, it didn't always work. So, and it doesn't always work because, you know, you still got to do nine guys. You can, you know, your right fielder he's going to get four at-bats. He might walk once. It might pop out, ground out, you know, and may no balls hit. You might not be a factor that day. The game doesn't always come to you necessarily, and we see that in baseball. So you need nine guys, clearly, to be a team. So it doesn't always work, but for a team like the Mets, who are kind of knocking at the door, I understand why they did it, because they're trying to find that kind of that next big oomph to get them from a good team, a really good team, to an even better.
I do wonder how much of it is David Stearns and how much of it was Steve Cohen, because
Signs the checks. Yeah. Steve Stearns just makes a recommendation, but Cohen has to sign off on
it. He's a consigliere, is what you're saying.
He's Tom Hagen. We've lost half our audience now. We don't know who Tom Hagen is.
Everybody's seen The Godfather. Come on.
Well, wait a minute. There's a couple of people who haven't seen it I know of.
That's Mike Claiborne. That's Ricky Horton. I'm Matt Pauly. We're going to be with you guys throughout the duration of the winter meetings. Fellas, thanks for stopping by for a little bit.
You bet, Matt.
Good seeing you, Matt. We'll see a lot of each other this week.
Absolutely. And first, countdown to opening day show will be coming up on Thursday night here on KMOX and across the Cardinals Radio Network. Another break. We got more coming up from Dallas. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are broadcasting live from baseball's winter meetings in Dallas. My name's Matt Pauly. Things are starting to kind of slow down here. Not as many people walking around. There's a lot of parties and parties and get-togethers and dinners and things like that that the different organizations are holding. Those are going on right now. There's still a few people certainly around here, but we're here. And we're going to be here throughout the duration of the meetings, broadcasting live tomorrow and Wednesday as well. If you'd like to chime in on this Nolan Arenado news, we welcome your text messages, your tweets. You can try calling in. I'm not there. Obviously, I'm in Dallas. Our phone line system might not be working properly right now, so we can try. If you want to call in, we can attempt to put you on the air. I'm not sure if it's going to work right now. If it doesn't work now, if it gets fixed, we'll let you know. But you can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air. Or you can leave us a voice message if you are listening via the Odyssey app. You click the microphone button where it says to leave a voice message. You do that, and it comes to us, and we'll monitor those throughout the course of the program as well. So the question for you is, we found, again, not breaking news that the Cardinals are likely to trade Nolan Arenado. If you've been following along, that was always the likely conclusion. The breaking news is the fact that the Cardinals have now confirmed it. John Mozeliak has said, indeed, they are looking to trade Arenado. So, your thoughts. Again, I'd love to hear from, if this is surprising to you, I almost want to know why it's surprising to you, because we've been talking about it so much. But now that it essentially is a conclusion now, I really don't see a scenario playing out where Arenado's not on this team. The only thing that would be out there, I guess I'll continue to repeat this, I guess there's always a scenario where the Cardinals just do not get a team to give enough salary relief, and the Cardinals do not get a team to give them enough in return that they say, you know what, this isn't worth our getting engaged on this deal. We'll keep Nolan, and at some point during the year, something's going to happen with a third baseman in baseball, and there's going to be a team that has a need, and we'll revisit this after the season. I guess that is a scenario that could potentially play out. I don't think it is going to play out. We'll take, again, your phone calls, your text messages, and your tweets, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. And the question is how you are feeling about that news here at the moment. Let's get to our first call. Brian has given us a call. Hey, Brian, you are on Sports Open Line.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing tonight?
Doing all right.
So my big thing is, this doesn't just go with Arenado, it goes with Goldschmidt as well. You go into this past season, coming out of 22, knowing that they were starting to kind of slump out, they're getting older. obviously the Cardinals know which direction they were going. They didn't want to, you know, obviously admit to their what was going to happen here in the next year. Why not get rid of them when you had the chance and try to get something more for them a year and a half ago?
Do you, I mean, a year and a half ago, so before even next season, last season?
Well, yeah, because that's when you started kind of seeing things. The Cardinals knew the direction things were going. Obviously,
Brian, I would actually push back on that, because this is a team that went out and spent money on Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn and Sonny Gray and all those guys. Like, they went for it. Now, they failed because they were not a playoff team last year. The moves that they made did not work, but I would push back a little bit on your premise that they knew what direction this was going. If they knew the direction it was going, they wouldn't have gone out, and especially when it comes to Gibson and Lynn, they would not have spent that money if they completely knew this was the direction it was going.
And I agree with that 100%, but that makes you leap from the Goldschmidt Arenado thing to that. If you're going to spend that money, why not have extra money to try to spend on newer players, younger players at that time? Goldschmidt and Arenado, at the time, you can see that they're starting to slip. You know you're not going to hang on to them much longer anyway. Why not try to get a little something extra for them ahead of time?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and I understand where you're coming from, and I really appreciate you calling in. I think they were still as all in as they were going to be. Now, part of what was inferred in your question there was, well, then why didn't they do more? Why did they go into a year last year where they had an offensive profile that just didn't score enough runs? I guess I would argue back that if they would have been the same offensive club the year as they were the year, yeah, you know, if they would have been the offensive club in 2024 that they were in, even in 2023, in that year that was not very good, 90-plus loss season, it would have been a completely different year. What took them down this past year was their lack of scoring runs. And I think in hindsight we can say, well, then last offseason they should have done one of two things. They should have improved the club more to be able to score more runs, or they should have just gone ahead and started doing what they're doing right now with going to a youth movement and focusing on the future and player development and certainly all of those things. Let's go to Don, who's giving us a call. Hey, Don, you're on Sports Open Line.
Hey, Matt. How you doing, bud?
Doing all right.
Yeah, here's the problem I have with the Arenado situation. I understand what they're trying to do. I don't have a problem with it. Here's the other problem I have with it. Unless you have somebody to replace him at third base, which I don't think they do, I don't think Nolan Gorman is the answer because he strikes out 40% of his bats, and that's the problem I'm having with that. I can understand them wanting to get rid of him because they want somebody else to play third base. Well, then, if that's the case, well, then go out and get somebody else other than Gorman to play third base, because I don't think he's the answer. That's just my opinion. I may be off. I may be wrong, but I don't think he's the answer. And if they trade Helsley, then who's going to close out their games? That's the other problem I have with if they're trying to trade him. So if you can answer my questions, I appreciate it, and I'll hang on the line.
All right, Don, appreciate it. So first, I don't think they're going to trade Helsley, at least not right away. What would lead to them trading Helsley is the market finally doesn't have as many high-end, high-leverage closers available. And there's a bunch of those guys who are available right now. So if you were to trade Ryan Helsley right now, I think you would be selling low, and he's not somebody you're going to sell low on. So that's not going to happen. Just get that out of the way first. You got to find out really what you have in Nolan Gorman. And I understand Gorman's results recently, but there's a lot of Cardinal fans that jump at the opportunity to complain about the fact that so many players have left St. Louis and gone on to be really, really good players elsewhere. And many of those exact same people don't think that Nolan Gorman is ever going to turn into anything. Like, it's kind of one or the other. And you gotta find out what you have in Gorman. Gorman was a top-level prospect. He's somebody who's had some success at the big league level. He's a guy who can be a legit power hitter for you. He can be a 35-home-run guy. This is the year where you find out about him. And you know what? Hey, if he comes back this year and nothing looks different, if he hits under 200 or around 200 and he strikes out two times a game and it's just not good and you got to sell low on him, I'm fine with it. I know there's going to be people who say, well, you should trade him when you had the better opportunity. I'm fine with this. This is a year where you find out what you have in Nolan Gorman. Winning is important this year, but other things are important as well, and you cannot get out of 2025 without knowing what you have in Nolan Gorman, whether that is knowing that he's a really good middle-of-the-order run-producing bat or whether it's knowing that this is just a guy who was overhyped as a prospect and he's never going to be able to be someone that you can trust to be in your lineup because of the strikeouts and the lack of on-base and things like that. You got to figure that out, and moving Nolan Arenado helps you figure that out. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. We're going to continue this conversation, and we've got an opportunity for you to call, text, and tweet. We'll do it for the rest of this hour and into next hour as well. So if you're on hold, if you're waiting for me to read your text, we'll get to it coming up in just a moment here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a few minutes left here in hour number one of the program as we continue to broadcast the show live from baseball's winter meetings in Dallas, Texas. Day number one starting to wrap up. A couple more days to go. Again, if you want to chime in on the news of the day that Cardinals President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak did confirm that the team intends to trade Nolan Arenado. We'll be able to take your phone calls, your text messages, and your tweets. We'll continue to do that after the 7 o'clock news. So hang on for that in just a few moments. I pause, obviously, because I don't want what I say here to be taken the wrong way. I think this team can win. I do. I think this team can win. I think this team can be similar to what they were this past year. And it was a winning record. And it was playoff contention. They were not a playoff team. It was a failure of a year because they didn't make it to the playoffs. And their goal was to be that. This year, it's different. This year, it continues to be about figuring out who guys are, about giving Heim Bloom and company time to implement a player development system. And I know there's people listening to me right now who are somewhat cynical about that, who, you know, of everything that I've said today, they glom on to the fact that part of wanting to move Nolan Arenado is connected to finances, that's all they hear, that the idea of finding out who you have in a Nolan Gorman and in other opportunities. It also opens up a door for J.J. Weatherholt. And if you're not familiar with Weatherholt, he's somebody to be really excited about. Is he going to break camp with the team? No, I don't think he's going to. But I think he's going to finish the year with the team. And I think Quinn Matthews is going to finish the year with the team. I think there's a good chance that Tink Hintz finishes the year with the team. There's a bunch of really young players that can become the next core. And bluntly, honestly, this last core, we talked about this the other day. When I discussed why there doesn't seem to be too much emotional distraughtness, for lack of a better word, I don't even know if that is a word, it probably is not, about Arenado and Goldschmidt not being here, it's because they didn't win you anything. From a postseason perspective, they did not win you anything. So it's time. It's time for the Cardinals to get to their next era. And there's a lot of young guys to be really excited about who can be a big part of that. And it's getting tougher and tougher and tougher to compete and contend in Major League Baseball. We've barely even talked about the Juan Soto deal since we started this show today. It is so much tougher. You have to put yourself in position where you can have high-end players. And the best way to do that is to develop them. And the Cardinals are starting that right now. And I continue to be all in on all of this. All right, we'll continue this conversation coming up after the 7 o'clock news right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
We're live in Dallas, Texas. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. We are at baseball's winter meetings. We'll continue to broadcast live over the next few days until things wrap up coming up on Wednesday, and then we will have our first Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show here on KMOX and across the Cardinals Radio Network coming up on Thursday night. Myself, Mike Claiborne, Ricky Horton, we've already started collecting stuff for that show, so that's going to be coming up. Our topic of the moment is based around what John Mozeliak told us not that long ago, less than 2 hours ago. Mozeliak did confirm to the St. Louis media that's here in Dallas that indeed the team does intend to trade Nolan Arenado. Nothing is imminent, but from a standpoint of roster construction and giving young guys the opportunities that they want to give them, and also from a financial standpoint and getting payroll to where they want payroll to be, it makes a lot of sense to be able to move on from Arenado. We'll take your phone calls, we'll take your text messages, we'll take your tweets, we'll take your voice messages. Lots of ways to get in contact with us if you want to chime in on this news of the day. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. Tweet at me at Matt Pauley on air, or leave the voice message via the Odyssey app. On the text line, text message from the 618 says, "It's not surprising. I'm just so confused as to why Mo made those comments publicly." Yeah, it was kind of interesting to be in the room as those comments were being made. Because one of the things I've actually always appreciated about John Mozeliak, I probably appreciate more about Mo than a lot of people listening do. I like John a lot. I like Mo a lot. There's actually a joke today about people calling him John versus people calling him Mo. But one of the things I actually do appreciate about him is I think he is more forthright than a lot of sports executives out there. In fact, if you were listening in the last couple of days when talking about Arenado, I brought up the fact that, you know, this time last year, they were very clear in the sense that they wanted to trade Tyler O'Neill. So the fact that they hadn't been as clear with the Arenado thing made me wonder, wonder if they keep him. Well, that changed today. So we're in there, and when we're talking to him, there's a lot of questions about kind of the what things are going to look like in the future. And he doesn't want to sit there and admit publicly that they are looking to trade Arenado. I don't think he went into that conversation saying that that is something that they want to get into. But at the same time, if you're having a conversation about what it's going to look like next year and how you want to give young guys the opportunity, or as they put it again, the runway, well, what he's saying and the way the roster is constructed with Nolan Arenado on it just doesn't jive. Those two things don't go together. So it kind of got to a point where he almost could not speak about what they want to do next season without just sort of giving in and admitting that they are looking to trade Arenado. So I think why I can't speak for the texter from the 618, but I think the question on why you would say that publicly, you're questioning that because you feel like maybe you lose some leverage when teams know that somebody's on the block. Well, first off, everybody knew already. Him saying it to us doesn't impact the value. There's conversations that have been taking place with other executives. Everybody knows that Arenado's on the block. So I don't think his value went down because of what was said today. That's that. Text message from the 608 says, "I like trading Arenado, but don't sell him too short. And look at what the Brewers do. They lose guys and still win with young talent. It can be done." Yeah, absolutely. And if folks with the Cardinals are listening right now, I'm sure that text message in many ways makes them happy, because I think what they are trying to what they want to do moving forward is produce as much high-end talent as possible out of the farm system. And We see it happen with a lot of teams in baseball. We see the Brewers win year after year after year as they let players go. What's going to happen? Are they going to go win the division again with Willie Adames gone? They're likely to trade away Devin Williams. Is it just going to be more of the same? Because that's what the Brewers have done. We see the Tampa Bay Rays do it. We see a lot of teams do it. We see the Atlanta Braves do it, the difference being the Braves lock in their guys to long-term deals. And they're kind of the only team really like that, that consistently wins at a high level, consistently produces high-end talent out of their farm system, and consistently signs those guys to contract extensions. So we can talk all we want about the Milwaukees and the Tampa Bays of the world and the great job that they do in player development. And I'm not taking anything away from them. But I think the model has to be what Atlanta does, because they produce those guys, but then they sign them to long-term deals. And that's where the Cardinals, if they get this player development thing humming along the way they'd like to, the way that Heim Bloom would like to, that's going to be the difference between the Cardinals and teams like, again, the Brewers and the Rays. That those teams have to watch players walk out the door a lot, where the Cardinals will be in a position to not be, feel like they have to trade guys and to have the financial resources to be able to, again, keep those guys around for a longer amount of time. Let's go to some of the tweets that have come in. Tony says, "This darn team is so freaking cheap. I'm done spending on this. What an embarrassment we have become." I would disagree with Tony. And this isn't going to be a popular position, because I understand that part of what was said today was that money is part of the reason that they're looking to move on from Nolan Arenado. Okay, not to be flippant about that, but right now with where this team is at and what they're trying to accomplish, I actually don't care about the money. I don't. I don't think there's any use in caring about that. I get that the Cardinals want to reduce payroll. I understand that. That's something that they want to do this offseason. That doesn't bother. I don't care. That doesn't bother me, because what bothers me is the potential of getting out of 2025 and still not being able to give Nolan Gorman the opportunity that you need to give him to know who he is. Not having the opportunity for a J.J. Weatherholt to arrive. Not being able to put Jordan Walker out in right field every single day. Like those are the things that bother me for 2025. At some point, payroll is going to matter. At some point, payroll is going to matter. At some point, the Cardinals are going to have a really good team with young players that they have developed, and there's going to be a hole in the outfield or a hole in the starting rotation, and you feel like you are a legit World Series contender with one key free agent signing, and you're going to have to go spend some money on it. At some point in time, that is going to be the case, and payroll is going to matter. And when I'll be very happy when we get to that point. I don't think we're at that point right now. I think there are other things that are more important. That's why I continue to consistently say that for the long-term health of the Cardinals, my contention is the work that Heim Bloom is doing this offseason has more importance than the work than John Mozeliak is doing. And it sounds like I'm being dismissive of what Mo's doing. I'm not. I am just really punctuating and highlighting the work that is being done by Heim Bloom, because I think that is oh so important to this team having success from a long-term standpoint, and again, being able to win at a very high level. Philip tweeted in, says, "All we had to do was sign a starter to pair with Sonny Gray, and we could compete in the playoffs, but now it seems like the Cardinals are going to be in 70 to 80 win seasons." Philip, do you really think that the Cardinals were one starting pitcher away from competing in the playoffs? And what does that even mean, to compete in the playoffs? When I hear compete in the playoffs, that means have the ability to go on a deep playoff run. And by dictionary definition, and we've seen some teams get hot. I guess any team has the ability to go on a deep playoff run, but one that's built for it. How about that? We'll use that term. One that is a team that is built for a deep playoff run. I would push back, Philip, and I would say that the Cardinals were not one starter to pair with Sonny Gray away from being a team that was built for a long playoff run. And also don't forget at the same time that this was a team, when they went and got Eric Fetty, they thought that they had that guy. They thought that they had somebody who they could indeed pair with Gray at the top. And Fetty's overall numbers that he put up last season, I mean, it's something that Bernie Miklas brought up a lot this past week, both on his own videos and on the Gas House Gang, was when you look at wins above replacement, Eric Fetty was, depending on where you look, he was ranked somewhere between number 6 and number 17 of major league starters. So Fetty came in as a legit guy there at the top. The Cardinals' problems last year were offensive. Cardinals' problems the year before were a lot of stuff, but pitching was the bigger issue. I would contend that pitching was not as much of an issue this past year, especially from a bullpen standpoint. It was good, but even the starters weren't bad. I mean, they weren't great, but they weren't bad. When you look at the end of season overall numbers from a Lance Lynn and a Kyle Gibson, Kyle Gibson gave you a lot. He was probably your third starter if you would have been a playoff team. You can definitely find some numbers that make Lance Lynn's season look okay. So, yeah, I don't know. I would push back on that. I just would, that they were a starter away from getting to that point. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you get into contact with the program. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. But I'll be honest, here's what we've got coming up here for about the next half hour or so. It's going to take up a lot of the rest of the program. We're here, and we definitely want to bring to you some of the stuff that you can only get from folks who are here, and that includes the comments that were made today by Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. He made the media rounds. He did MLB Network on TV. He did MLB Network Radio. He did he recorded with us for Countdown to Opening Day, and then he also did a large media scrum, and he had a lot. He talked for about a half hour, 20 minutes, half hour during the media scrum. What we're going to do for our next half hour or so is play back most of what he had to say. So Oliver Marmol, his comments, how he's feeling about the season, how he's feeling about individual players, how he's feeling about the team's reset. All of that is coming up in just a moment from the Baseball Winter Meetings. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line as we continue to come your way from Dallas, Texas, and the Baseball Winter Meetings. Again, the breaking news of today really is the fact the Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, did confirm earlier today the team is looking to move on from Nolan Arenado, essentially saying that for them doing what they want to do and terms of giving players, young players, the runway and having opportunities for young players, that's an important part. But also mentioning the financial aspect of it as well, that it is an important thing to be able to move on from that salary. Not that they couldn't still potentially add some other salaries via free agency. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a bit. But also today is the day where Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol spoke with the media. Want to spend time for the next really 25, 30 minutes or so going through what he had to say. So we're going to do this for the next couple segments, just really going through what his comments from the day. And obviously, a lot has been made of this reset that the team is going through at the moment. He was asked, what does the reset look like for him?
There's been a lot of just communication, collaboration with everything from the hiring of Surf to the coordinator position and going through some of the questionnaires and just understanding just the infrastructure for how all of this will go down. So it's been really smooth, I can say that, with Mo and Haim and just everybody involved. They've done a really nice job of including the entire staff based on their lane of expertise. So it's been good.
So if the team indeed is going through a reset, does that change the way he views the offseason?
You just continue to operate, honestly, as if they're going to be until they're not, right? And those guys are doing a really nice job of that. I mean, in speaking to Nolan, he's in a good spot, man. He's doing what he does best, and that's he's working hard to make sure he has a good season. So you just continue to operate that way. But it's been, I'll tell you this, man, this offseason has been good with, you look at the two hires in John Jay and Brownie. Those two guys have done an incredible job in the short amount of time that they've been here in their communication with our players. And you look at Brownie, spending time with Gorman in Arizona, flying down to Jupiter and spending time with Jordan over the last week, and Siani and some of those other guys, some of the adjustments with Victor Scott. He's been able to hit with Nolan Arenado as well out in Arizona. And then John Jay going down and flying down to Jupiter and spending time with Walker and Vic and those guys. Like, it's been awesome, man. It's needed. And there's a lot of buy-in right now as to the direction that we're headed. Yeah.
And he made it very, very clear that no matter what else is going on with the organization, that winning is still a very important thing to do.
I will say the mindset is still winning baseball. Like, you talk to any of our players, had a recent conversation with Donovan and Wynn and those guys, like, they're hungry to win. What I'm excited about is there's going to be runway for some of these guys, and I think some of the pressure is going to be lifted off their shoulders in understanding that, man, whether this week goes well for you or it doesn't, you're going to be in there. And knowing that they have a longer runway than they're used to having, I think may lead to more production, to be quite honest with you. So I'm excited about that.
There's been so much talk about whether this is a year where they are going to be able to win, but also want to know what they have when it comes to younger players. And both things can be correct. The team is not running away from the idea that they want to be a winning club this year, but at the same time, obviously, they want to be able to use this year to learn about many of their young players.
If I were to sit here and ask you, like, what is Herrera, I think we would all have varying responses, and that's the whole point of it. Like, at the end of this year, we'll know what we have in a Herrera, in a, Jordan Walker, Newport, like you go down the list and just get them at bats, let them pitch, let them play, and there's more clarity as to what we have on our hands rather than guessing. So that's a big part of kind of how we'll measure this as well.
So if winning is a part of the year, but also learning about young players is a big part of the year, what exactly does a successful year actually look like?
For me, it's still winning baseball. Like, our guys we're going to continue to instill that. I think that's what we've always done. You go into the year with that expectation. That part doesn't change for me. I can tell you, in speaking to our guys, it doesn't change for them. They're not going into this year just looking at developing. Sure, our approach will signal towards that more than anything, as far as when we talk about runway and letting guys play, but the mentality remains the same in wanting to compete at an extremely high level.
And to have that successful year, to have that winning year, it's very important that, again, going back to young players, that they have to be able to go out and perform. And he feels like those players do have the opportunity and that chance to perform at a high level this season.
The amount of young guys that we have, right? You look at our catching situation with Contreras moving over to playing some first and DHing. You have two young catchers. You have a combination of Burleson and Contreras at first. You have Donnie, you have Gorman, you have Nude, you have Vic, you have Siani, you have Walker, you have Mason. Like, you have a ton of young dudes, so it's the right time in allowing them to have that runway to figure out what you have, right? And then there is the other side of it, of understanding what the long term looks like based on what you have in the minor leagues and how the infrastructure is being set up in order to produce more guys that can help us at the big league level. So when you look at beefing up that staff down there and adding coordinators and just collaborating to the degree that we have, that's helpful. So I think it's the right time to do it based on a couple different things, and those being too.
A couple more things from Oliver Marmol before we take a break. Obviously, a lot of decisions have been made recently. Chaim Bloom is going to take over as the president of baseball operations for next season. He's in a role right now where he's helping redevelop player development. He hired Rob Serfolio. That group has hired a good number of individuals here recently. So where does Marmol's voice, where does it play into all these decisions that are being made? And he said that he absolutely has had a voice in these decisions.
Yeah, so Mo and Chaim and that whole group, they've been really, inclusive. You look at, I sat in and had a lot of the one-on-one interviews for the AGM position, which was awesome to be a part of, and just understanding what Mo and Chaim value in that position and being able to throw in my two cents. But also when you look at the coordinator position, they've done a nice job of including for the field coordinator, like me and Descalzo are looking at those. You have Stubby and Descalzo looking at the infielders. John Jay's looking at the outfield coordinator positions. You have Pogge and others looking at the catching coordinator position, and just including the big league staff and being able to have their hand in, or just to say a seat at the table in what they value in hiring that next group that's going to be extremely valuable in developing the players that are going to help us at the big league level.
And went on to say that he's glad that the organization has given him that voice.
I don't know if it's unusual or not because I've only done it here, but I will say it's awesome to include everybody and be able to voice kind of what you find important. And be able to hear other people's ideas and evaluation on a candidate, and then get to the bottom of who's going to be the best for this position. So I think it's being done really well right now. Yeah.
That is Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol speaking with the media earlier today. We've got a lot more from him. We'll get to that coming up in just a moment as we take a break and have more after this. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. We are continuing to broadcast from Dallas, Texas, and the baseball winter meetings. Again, the breaking news of the day, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak confirming earlier today that indeed the team does have Nolan Arenado on the trading block. That's not breaking news in terms of like it's shocking or surprising. We kind of knew that was the case, but now it has been confirmed by John Mozeliak. Let's go back through. We're continuing to go through what Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol had to say today, and we got through a few things in our last segment. Want to continue on, and we get into some more individual conversations, like conversations about individual players. Let's start with Nolan Gorman and where Marmol feels like Gorman is at here at the moment.
I think he's in a really good spot. Brownie was able to spend some time with him and just candidly speak to what he feels, hasn't gone well. And here's what I like about Brownie. He's able to speak different languages in the sense of, like, if it's someone's highly in a little bit, like, he's able to speak to that. If someone is more off of feel, he's able to speak to kind of the swing and has a really, really good understanding of the swing. If someone wants to just talk biomechanics, like, he can do that. And he's been able to relate to a variety of our guys based on how they like taking in information. So he's done a really nice job with Gorman and understanding, like, his gather leads to a lot of his success or lack of success, and being able to speak to that has been amazing. So there's been a lot of buy-in from the Walkers and the Gormans with what they're working on right now, and that leads to just overall confidence. I am more excited than ever in what we'll see out of our young guys based on that. Yeah.
You know, Gorman is very much connected to the Nolan Arenado situation. If Arenado gets traded, you would think that likely Gorman becomes just about the everyday third baseman. If that were to not happen, well, that again is kind of why John Mozeliak spoke about the fact that the roster doesn't completely work without that happening. But Marmol said they're not totally sure yet where Gorman is going to play defensively.
It is, right? Like, it's hard to speak to that definitively based on, like, we don't know what a roster is going to look like here in a few weeks, right? So, like, once we get past some of this, then we'll have a better understanding. But right now, he's ready to do whatever he's asked to do, and he's in a good headspace to be able to do that. Yeah.
Sure, you can play for him,
He feels comfortable at multiple positions, third, second. He came up as a third baseman. He's obviously done a nice job at second, turns a good double play. So, yeah, he'll do whatever he's asked to do, and he's in a good spot mentally to be able to do it.
Yeah, another a term that we keep hearing over and over and over is runway, runway, runway. They want to give runway to young players. When we talk about the runway, we're talking a lot about Gorman. We're talking a lot about Jordan Walker. So what does runway look like when it comes to pitchers? How does that actually work itself out?
It allows for a little bit more flexibility in a pitcher working on something and not having to, like, Fernandez did a good job of this last year, right? He was in a tough spot, right? We couldn't set him down. Like, he was a Rule 5 guy, and he was having to make adjustments in the moment in high-leverage situations, and he did a really nice job of that. That's not the norm. Some guys aren't able to do that. He did it really well. But when you look at what Dusty and his staff has done with our pitching, like, I feel like there's been a lot of adjustments on the fly at the highest level that have gone our way. You look at Libby, you look at what some of those guys have done, it's been productive. We'll continue to do that. Yeah.
And when you talk about pitchers and some of the young guys who might be part of that group stepping forward, Marmol specifically mentioned a couple guys in Chris Roycroft and Riley O'Brien.
And you have some high-end arms in both of those guys with some real stuff. We're going to have to work through some highs and some lows. We're okay with that. But what could come out of a Roycroft reaching his potential and a Riley, it's a big deal. It really is.
There used to be kind of an adage in baseball that when guys got to the big leagues, they were basically fully developed. And that's just not the case anymore. Development doesn't stop because you've reached the big leagues, and that has never been more true with the Cardinals than the situation they have right now. And Marmol talked about that and talked about the development that still has to happen as these young guys are reaching the big leagues.
That's changed. I mean, guys are getting up there younger and younger, and there's a ton of development. You look at our staff, and it's I give our staff a lot of credit, man. It's a lot of guys that spent time in the minor leagues that value development. It's in their DNA to do exactly that, to teach. You look at Pop, you look at Stubby. There's a track record for doing those things. So development takes place at the big league level. And there's going to be a lot of it moving forward.
You know, we spend so much time talking about young guys, but there are still some veterans on the team. Wilson Contreras, he was one player that made it very clear to the Cardinals he wanted to stick around. He is embracing the opportunity of going and playing first base. He thinks it gives him an opportunity to stay healthy. And Marmol is clearly very pleased that Contreras did want to stick around.
They were awesome. They really were, man. It was almost like a little bit of a relief. At the end of the day, Wilson wants to be healthy, and he wants to be in the lineup as much as possible. And if that means not catching because he's exposed to potential more injury and his legs, and as he continues year in, year out, then he's on board. And he was excited about it. His exact words were, at one point, I want to win a Gold Glove at first base, and I'm going to work extremely hard to get as close to that as possible. But he's excited about being in the lineup every day, and that's what we want for him as well. It's a combination of working with Stubby, and he's going to work with Jose Oquendo starting here in a week or two down in Jupiter. And listen, man, I love Jose. He does an incredible job teaching and progressing somebody that hasn't played a position to feeling comfortable in a game. He does that as good as anybody. So I think we have the right people in place to get Wilson comfortable.
You know, this time last year, we were talking so much about how the team needed more experience and more leadership inside of the clubhouse. And they went and got that with Matt Carpenter and Sonny Gray and Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn. And outside of Gray, those guys are gone. Contreras is a guy, a veteran guy who's still there as well. But Marmol really feels like, even though that maybe they're moving to a new stage, those guys being in the clubhouse last year had an impact on younger players who are still with the Cardinals.
Yeah, a good example would be Pallante and Libby. Like, man, they gleaned so much from a Lance Lynn and a Gibby and a Sonny. Like, you needed that. And now he's in a much better place mentally, just kind of how to handle failure. He's in a better spot to attack this year, even with those guys not in the clubhouse. there's benefits of that for sure.
And Marble went on to say that absolutely having that experience in the clubhouse does still matter.
When you can sense the transition years of needing that in order to culturally instill certain things and be able to reiterate certain messages coming from the players and not just the staff, last year was an important year to bridge that for some of those guys. And they did an incredible job of doing exactly that. Gibby, Lance, you go down the list, were phenomenal with that. Carpenter did a really nice job with that. And it allows exposure to what that looks like in order for them to now carry it on and do it in their own way, right? Like, Mason's his own guy. Like, Jordan's his own guy. Like, Sonny does things a certain way. So they'll add their twist to what it's supposed to look like, but bridging that last year was important.
That is Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol, all of what he had to say today in meeting with the media here at baseball's winter meetings. We will take a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up this edition of the program. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap things up on this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We certainly appreciate you being tuned in with us as we continue to broadcast from Dallas as the baseball winter meetings are continuing on. Again, the news today, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak did confirm the team is looking to move on from Nolan Arenado, looking to trade him from a standpoint of it roster construction. If they want this to be a year where they give opportunities to young players and give young players that runway we talk about so often, that it would help to have third base open. Clearly, that moves Nolan Gorman over to third. Brendan Donovan can play some second. At some point, J.J. Weatherholt can arrive. There's just a lot of things going on where the team would benefit, and they are still looking to reduce payroll, even with where they're at. And I do think, from a payroll standpoint, with the TV deal that got done, even with them losing money on it, they did not lose as much as other teams lost. And sports gambling coming in, that's going to be a revenue stream that's going to help. They're in a better spot than a lot of teams are, but that is it's still something that they are trying to work on. So that's kind of what we've been talking about a lot today, just the fact that Nolan Arenado, it looks like they're going to move on from him. It feels like there's some things that have to happen. I would be shocked. I'd be very shocked if a move does get done prior to the baseball winter meetings coming to an end. There's just not a whole lot of time for that to happen. Mo made a joke about the fact that he was 48 hours away from being back home, and even with the Juan Soto news, it does feel like there's some other things that have to probably play themselves out before Nolan Arenado gets moved. I didn't talk about this too much earlier, but also made it very clear that there continues to be a good amount of communication that is going on between the Cardinals and Arenado. They're trying to be very respectful of him and letting him know where everything sits. And you also have to do that because, don't forget, Arenado, he's got the no trade clause. So you could go work out a deal, and then all of a sudden he says, well, I don't want to go there. And then all the work was done for naught. So that appears to be the biggest thing that's going on right now. I don't know if the Cardinals are going to pull something off. I continue to sit here and think that if they make a move that includes the Major League roster, then in all likelihood, it's going to be Steven Matz that gets moved. In fact, there was even a joke today where Mo was doing some media on MLB Network and MLB Network Radio, and Ali was doing his media stuff today as well. And there was a lot of joke about, well, who's the fifth starter going to be? Well, right now there's more than five starters. So it almost feels like there's this assumption that somebody is going to get moved. Although I should say that when Mo was talking about the rotation, he did mention Steven Matz's name. Not that that really means all that much, but did mention Matz's name. It seems likely that Matz is going to be the guy who they move on from, but that has not happened yet. It's not official, and we'll just have to wait and see if that's going to play out. All right, on the way next, we do have the Gas House Gang, what we recorded earlier today. It was a baseball Monday, a Cardinal Monday, so that means all four of us, Kevin Wheeler, Tom Ackerman, Bernie Miklas, and myself, recorded it. Just keep in mind, that's recorded at 12 noon, so any conversation about Nolan Arenado, we had that conversation prior to Mo saying that indeed they are looking to move on from him, but still a lot of good baseball talk that we had earlier today. So don't go anywhere. The Gas House Gang, that is on the way next. Appreciate you being tuned in. We'll be back tomorrow all day long from baseball's winter meetings. And if we have any breaking news, we will bring it your way. I'll be doing all the normal hits, Sports Open Line, Gas House Gang, everything. KMOX is the only radio station in St. Louis that has boots on the ground in Dallas. And that's three of us, myself, Mike Claiborne, and Ricky Horton. All three of us are here. And we will be back with you coming up tomorrow. So thanks so much for being tuned in. It's been a Graybar Sports Open Line from Dallas and at baseball's winter meetings right here on KMOX.